Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Dr. Tim R. Norton with Simulytic Solutions, LLC. And in this show, we're going to discuss cloud computing in my Microtech Exchange series. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please use the question comment box below. All right, let's get started. This series, Microtech Exchange, is a series of radio shows that provides specialists in industry practical insights into technology from research and academic publications. Each show focuses on a recent article in a research publication and, based on a combination of my 30-plus years in the computing industry and 20-plus years university teaching, explains how that research can make a difference in a practical way. Because this is a brief or micro exchange of technology from the research world to industry practitioners, a full reference to the article discussed is provided to allow interested listeners access to whatever level of detail they require to get the most value out of the tech exchange. This show looks at a view of cloud computing from the University of California, Berkeley Reliable Adaptive Distributed Systems Laboratory. The authors of the article are Michael Amherst, Armando Fox, Rain Griffith, Anthony Joseph, Randy Katz, Andy Kowinski, Gung Ho Lee, David Patterson, Ariel Ramkin, Ion Stokoa, and Marty Zaharia. The article was published in the Communications of the ACM, April 2010, Volume 53, Number 4, Page 50. Now, this is a fairly long article, and it has a tremendous amount of information in it. Therefore, this article will be discussed over several radio shows. So I will include a little introduction of cloud computing in each of the radio shows as either a refresher or so that you can listen to the radio show of your choice. For more details, you can certainly look at the article we're going to discuss because it has a nice overview of cloud computing with some good examples. But very briefly, cloud computing is providing computing capabilities over the internet. And there are a number of vendors that are doing this: Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and others. But what kind of computing are we talking about? How is this organized and how do you use it? Well, the article talks about different categories, and they make the statement that only one of them is applicable. And I disagree to some extent. And so let's talk about what the common industry categories are, although understand that there are no official standards for this. So part of what the article is pointing out is that this is still a growing and developing environment. So you really have to look at what an individual vendor says they're delivering, and it may be somewhere between these categories. The first one is infrastructure as a service. That's capital I, small a, capital S. And that is basically a hardware infrastructure. It's just the computing environment so that you can put on it whatever operating system will run on that particular computing environment. All the applications you want, it's basically as if you bought a computer, you get to do with it what you want, but you don't have to pay for it all the time. The next is platform as a service. That's capital P, lowercase a, capital S. Platform as a service is the same as infrastructure with a service as a service, but with the operating system environment included. So it's a more of a platform. And it may be a Windows platform or a Unix platform or a Linux platform, but it includes more than just the hardware. And the cloud provider then supports that platform environment so that the cloud user doesn't have to do that. And last is software as a service. That's capital S, lowercase a, lowercase a, capital S. And software as a service is buying access to a software application. Salesforce.com is a good example of that. You're not interested in what the platform is, what the infrastructure is. You don't care about the computers it's running on. All you want to be able to do is interact with that software, with that application. So those are the three kind of broad categories. Now, the article makes the statement that infrastructure as a service and platform as a service are too ill-defined to be usable, and that they're really subsets of software as a service. And although I see their point, I disagree, because there are specific needs for infrastructure as a service and platform as a service that really are outside of the motivations for software as a service. However, the observations that the paper makes can be applied to any three of these categories or to whatever the cloud provider is defining their service as, because they don't have to pick one of these categories. And in fact, they may be between them. They may provide something more than what we would talk about in one of these categories, but less than what's in another one. And that's okay. So when we look at cloud computing, one of the questions is, why do it? What's the benefit? What's the motivation? Cloud computing is really looking at moving the resources to support your computing requirements out of your facility and into somebody else's and accessing it over the internet. When we look at a business and look at how businesses spend money, there's two industry terms that you will hear a lot. One is CapEx, that's capital C, lower A, lower P, capital E, lower X. And it's an abbreviation for capital expenditures or capital expense. The other is OpEx, capital O, lower P, capital E, lower X. And this is a term used for operational expenditures or operational expense. So what's the difference? Well, it has to do with how companies keep their books. Capital expenditures are tangible resources, in most cases, there are some exceptions, tangible resources that are depreciated over time. So you can't buy a new car and take the whole cost of the car as an expense in the year you bought it, because it has residual value. So you depreciate it, and you can take the depreciation over some number of years, depending on the depreciation schedule, useful life, etc. And then it has a salvage value at the end. Generally in a company, especially a large corporation, there is a fairly complex approval process around capital expenditures. So when you want to buy a new computer, that's a CapEx item, there's an approval process, and depending on the amount of capital that's being requested, that may go up and eventually could even go to the board of directors at the company. Once it's been approved and a purchase order has been issued and the resources have been ordered from a vendor, then they're delivered and installed and set up, and there's a lead time and there's work that goes into this. Capital expenses generally come out of a different accounting pool than operational expenses. So for many companies, if you can move expenses from CapEx to OpEx, it means you get the benefit of the expense in the current year rather than spread out over several years. And there's financial benefit to do that. So from the operational expense side, operational expenses generally don't have the same level of approval. They're the monthly reoccurring charges, your electric bill, the utilities of all sorts, maybe rent on a building. These sorts of things are operational expenses. And generally they vary from 1 month to the next. So you don't go get approval on them every time. You have an approval to spend a budget for operational expenses, but how that's spent is a little more flexible. So if we can move computing resources from CapEx to OpEx, we can bring in the value of that expense to the bottom line of the financial statement and have more flexibility in how we use those resources. So what is the value for doing that in a computing environment? Well, think about a situation where the demand for the computing resource varies over time. So you may have a time period where the demand is high and a time period where the demand is low. But if you're buying computing hardware, you're going to have to buy enough computing hardware to meet that constant higher demand. And when the demand is low, you simply don't have anything for the computers to do. If you're very aggressive about it, you may figure out a way to turn some of them off and save some utilities, but you still have the capital investment. What cloud computing allows you to do is replace some or even all of that computing infrastructure with an infrastructure that's in the cloud. And so now you use it as you need it, and you pay for it by the hour for each system. So when you quit using a system, you quit paying for that system altogether. It's like you don't have that capital hardware sitting on your floor for the time period you don't need it. And this is very similar to addressing provisioning for peak loads. So when you have an application or a service that has variability peak and off peak, for example, maybe a weekly peak or a monthly peak or even an annual peak, you don't really want to buy the capital hardware to support that peak and have it not be usable most of the time. By moving some or all of the computing to a cloud environment, now you only have to purchase the cloud resources for the peaks when you have the peaks. Another reason for cloud computing is when the demand isn't known. So when you have a startup organization or a new product or a new service, and you really don't know what's going to happen, how fast is this going to take off? Well, you don't really want to be on the front page of the Wall Street Journal for the company that didn't plan well and went down in flames because the demand outstripped their resources. But on the other hand, you don't want to buy millions and millions of dollars of capital assets and have them sit there and not do anything for 2 years until the business builds up. Cloud computing has a good business model to deal with that economic situation, in that you use cloud computing space, in essence, rent computers in the cloud. And you can ramp up very rapidly because these cloud computing vendors are very, very, very large. And someone saying, I need 20 computers tomorrow is not a big deal. But if you tried to buy and install 20 computers, it certainly wouldn't be tomorrow. It would be weeks, maybe even months, depending on the supplier and whether they could actually deliver 20 of those computers when you needed them. And that's similar to the last reason, which is an application that scales horizontally. So you have a long-running report generation task that sits on your server, and it takes maybe 2 days to generate the report. You would really like to be able to generate that report faster. So if it will scale horizontally, in other words, can you run parts of that report generation on multiple computers, then instead of buying one computer that you use for 2 days and then it doesn't do much for the rest of the month, you lease 20 or 30 or 40 or 100 computers in the cloud, generate the report in an hour or two, and then release those resources and don't use them again. the cost model for cloud computing is very interesting because most of the cloud provisioners renting or using one cloud computing system for a day or using 24 of those systems for an hour is the same cost. So the economics allows cloud computing to give different solutions to the business. The real question, though, is what are the problems with doing that? And what are the benefits of doing that? What are the opportunities? So that's a key point in this paper. And really one of the very good values of this paper is they list 10, the top 10, obstacles and opportunities for cloud computing. So looking at what we've talked about so far and what does it really mean? How does it apply to actual use of cloud computing in a real-world environment? And what's going to keep us from implementing those benefits that we just talked about? And what other opportunities are there that we may not be able to visualize or to see if we stick with a traditional purchased resource environment? Well, that's all the time we have for this radio show. I hope you've enjoyed our look at A View of Cloud Computing from the UC Berkeley Reliable Adaptive Distributed Systems Laboratory. I'll be discussing other topics from this paper in other radio shows, so look for the Microtech Exchange radio shows on cloud computing. I hope you've enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question comment box below. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search for the GoGo Radio Archive for Dr. Tim R. Norton with Simulytic Solutions, LLC. If there is a show you would like me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comment box. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune into the GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.